Our next song is Friend of God, based on John 15:13-15. Greater love has no more than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you.
This morning, this week, next weekend, I should say, I hope you're hungry, because next Sunday, actually Saturday, is the Women's Fellowship Breakfast Buffet from 7 to 10 a.m. So make sure you come and support the Women's Fellowship. And then on Sunday, Miss Jean is going to announce about, guess who's coming to dinner?
Just take a moment and look up there at that screen. I don't know about you, but I like to eat, and it shows. And how often in this congregation have we said, we brethren like to eat? Now, men, think about your wives. How often have they gone home Sunday and said, oh, I don't know what to make for dinner today? Here's your chance, men. Take your wives out for dinner next week. You can come if you're single. You can come if you're married. You can come if you're old. You can come if you're young. So open up your bulletin. Take it out right now. It says you can come to dinner. We have hosts who are just waiting to provide fellowship, fun, and food for you next Sunday. So please sign up today. We have lots of hosts. We need guests to show up at their houses. Fill it out immediately while you're thinking about it. You may have a really fine dinner. You may have pizza. You may have something else. But the important thing is that you're going to fellowship. So after you fill this out, on the way out, there's a basket on the table on your right. Just lay it in the basket, and we'll connect you with a host or a hostess. Thank you.
And next Sunday is also Harvest Home Sunday.
Wait, what did you say? It's Harvest Home Sunday
Harvest
next Sunday?
Home Sunday next Sunday.
Oh, that's right. I knew I brought this for a reason.
Yes, so next Sunday, make sure you bring some non-perishable food items, and you're going to bring them right up front here where Jenny is putting hers. And the collections will go to the Bethel Food Pantry. Thanks, Jenny.
You're welcome.
Are there any other announcements this morning? Another dinner coming up. Surprise entertainment. We have Golden Age dinner coming up. Is the sign up out there?
Yes, it is.
Yes? Okay. So the sign up is out in the narthex for the Golden Age dinner, which is on the 27th. So there's surprise entertainment. So make sure you sign up. Any other announcements? Not seeing any. Please rise and join us in our morning worship this morning. And come, now is the time to worship.
Gracious God, we are grateful for the freedom to come openly and worship you. Let our praise to you be a pleasing sound as we acknowledge that our lives, our strengths, and our hopes are gifts from you.
You know, as we gather to worship, sometimes we need to remind ourselves of some important truths. And maybe this morning you just need to repeat this to yourself. But I am loved. I'm accepted. I'm valued. And most importantly, we need to know I'm not alone. And we journey this life together. As a church family, we come here to worship the Lord, but we come here to encourage and to support one another. So we have a microphone that comes around each week, and some weeks we have some joys and some concerns, some weeks we don't. But this week we just want to offer that opportunity again for each of you to share together your life. So the microphone will be coming around. Simply put your hand in the air. I know Burrow has some important announcements from Japan that she's been texting away. So I'll let her share those with you. And let's keep the Eugene Stump family in prayer. Services are this Friday, 1 o'clock visitation, and 2 o'clock are the services. So keep the Eugene Stump and family this week. And I had a phone call between services. Sandy Kaufman is in the emergency room right now with an infection. So please keep Sandy in prayer as well. Any other joys or concerns you'd like to share with your church family?
We're here. Keep the prayers coming because today's 13 days.
Amen.
And we have not had 13 days in about 2 years. So thank you guys. Keep them coming because it's working.
Yes, those of you who are on the prayer circle are aware of the situation in Japan. They got hit by the strongest typhoon in 60 years. Unfortunately, it came in pretty close to Amy, so we were messaging back and forth with her. She is safe. She did not have to evacuate. There were quite a few people that did. I would like you to continue prayers for Japan because the greatest damage right now is being the flooding. It is really, really bad over there. Amy lives in Yokohama, and she's not on the first floor, thank goodness. There is one town over there, Chiba. They not only got the hurricane, they are hurricanes, but they call them typhoons over there. They got the typhoon, and they had one just a month ago. Not as strong, but they also had a tornado, a bad one, and also an earthquake. So please keep Japan in your prayers, especially the flooding. They're rescuing people from rooftops. It looks kind of similar to Houston, but it's a much, much bigger area. Part of Amy's prefecture did have to evacuate, but not where she is. It's quite bad, so I start following international news when I hear things like that. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you.
Two things I'd like to share this morning. First, the joy and a thank you to the men who showed up yesterday back at camp. We put the new porch on the front of the cabin at the miniature golf course, and I think camp's very appreciative of our work yesterday. And a thank you to those guys that showed up. And secondly, the young family Sunday school class here at church is starting a new lesson series called The Art of Parenting. And we are looking at how to be better parents. And I just want the congregation to be praying for all young families who struggle with the parenting aspect and the fact that there is no instruction book other than the Bible. Thank you.
Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for your incredible presence that is here with us this day. We thank you, Lord, that as we go through each day, we know that you are watching over us, that you're caring deeply for us, that your mercy, your compassion is poured out fresh upon us each day. We just thank you, Lord, for loving us, for giving us the opportunity to be loved and know what it feels like. We thank you, Lord, that you're a God that moves among us, and we thank you that we have seen miracles happen And Lord, we are just praying that you continue to bless our families here at this church. Lord, we know the young families with parenting, Lord, can be a challenge. And we just lift up anyone who parents here this morning, whether a grandparent or a parent, and just ask, Lord, that we would be guided in your ways and that your instruction manual, which is the best manual available to us as parents, would be made known to us, that we would raise our children, that they indeed would know you and follow along with the will that you have for their lives. And we just thank you, Lord, for teachers here in this congregation to share with our young families, to share with our Sunday school classes. Bless each of them, Lord. We thank you for activities. We think of the Golden Age dinner. We think of the guests who's coming to dinner. We think of activities to replace porches and the many things that you call us to do and to be a part of, Lord. We just pray that we would fellowship and we would get to know each other better as we get to know you, Lord. And we just thank you again, Lord, for just the way in which you impress yourself upon us each Sunday, each day of this week, Lord. We know that you have been doing something new in our lives, and sometimes we neglect to see what it is. So we just pray this morning, Lord, we would just realize, wow, look what you've done in my life. And let us just be grateful. Let us be so thankful. We do think of Japan and we think of the flooding that's happening right now. Lord, you know the rescue workers that have been spending countless hours taking people off of rooftops and helping in emergencies, and just give them divine energy, Lord. Help them through the storm and bless those that are in Japan, and thank you for keeping Amy safe. We think, Lord, of the Eugene Stump family this morning, and just ask, Lord, you would wrap your loving arms around them. Lord, we know what loss feels like in each of our lives, but when it gets very close to home, we lose a parent, Lord, it's very difficult. So we just continue to lift up Diane Feather's family as well as Eugene Stump's family, and just continue to let them know your love in a real and powerful way, Lord. And we lift up by name those on our prayer concerns. We think of Beverly and Naomi and Tim, and we think of Carl, and we think of Vera, and we think of Nolan, and we think of our sister church, Haitian First, and we particularly lift up Daniel this morning and just thank you for the way you've been moving in his life and his family's life. And Lord, we just continue just to ask you to just move in the way in which you see most appropriate, Lord. And we just give you praise and we give you thanks for all things. And we just now turn to you. We know this week we've sinned, we've done wrong, we've made mistakes, and we just want to take time and say we're sorry. We want to confess, but Lord, not just that. We want to turn from those sins that so easily entangle. So Lord, thank you for hearing our prayers of confession. Lord, each day we thank you for the cross. We thank you for the empty tomb. We thank you for the knowledge of our salvation. But Lord, we just came through a series of walking the talk, and I pray that we would be doing just that, that others would be able to see who you are through who we are, and by the love that we share with others, and by the way we serve, and by the way we have compassion, Lord, may we be like you so that others might know you. And we just thank you for that opportunity day in and day out. We do lift up Sandy right now in this very hour, Lord. You know the infection she has, and just pray the doctors would be able to give her exactly what she needs right now, Lord. But we know your healing touch is even more powerful. So we pray if it be your will, you would just touch her with your healing touch and allow that infection to be gone in Jesus' name. Thank you for meeting us here in this place, and we look forward to continuing to worship you. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen.
Do you want to move to the verse one, please, for the screen to start, and rather than on the chorus?
Thank you.
In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, verse 14, it says, "When times are good, be happy. But when times are bad, consider this. God has made the one as well as the other." At this time, as we prepare to give our tithes and our offerings, I just want us to consider the fact that one of the roles of the church is to help those in need. And so for those of us that are going through good times, let us be generous with our giving so that when people are going through bad times, the church can be there to help them. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for the blessings that you have given us. Help us to give joyfully and with abandon for the furthering of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Children here, can they come up front and join me for a children's story?
Where'd LJ go? Here they come. Here come the troops. Mm-hmm. It is a giant piece of a tree. It's a giant piece of a tree. Chloe is so smart. Oh. Why is it standing up? I just wanted to hold it so everybody could see. Oh, you found my secret. She found an acorn on the tree. I asked my husband Craig to go and cut a limb off my oak tree this morning. And I said, and if you could find one with an acorn on, that would be even better. No, don't take that one off. We're going to let that one on, okay? Can you sit down? Thank you. Good job. Well, welcome, everybody. Come on. You can come front. Yeah. So this is part of an oak tree. And does anybody know what an oak tree grows from? An acorn, of course. And right in here, tucked inside the branches, is a little baby acorn. That one didn't fall off yet. So this oak tree, this is just part of the tree. What do you know about oak trees? They grow really big. Are they weak or strong? They're really strong. Oak trees are very strong. Yes, they are. Do you want to see the acorn? I'll get you one, okay?
Want to see the tree on my back? I do.
You can climb up the tree? Oh, be careful.
You can break it.
You can break it. Well, this one would be hard to break because it's still fresh and green. But there's a verse that we're going to talk about today, and I would like to practice it. So I'm going to say it, and you repeat after me. I didn't hear you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let's do it again. I can
do all things
through Christ who strengthens me. We can do a lot of things. This oak tree can't do quite as much, but this oak tree starts out as a little tiny acorn. These are actually some big acorns. Okay? Yeah, that is a big acorn. Sit down, and I'll give you an acorn at the end. Okay? So the oak tree starts as a little acorn, and what does it need to grow? What's one thing it needs? It needs sunlight, and sunlight is kind of like God's love shining down on us. Yeah, I do. Yeah, he's in the tree. It's okay. Yeah, can you sit down again for me? Thank you. So God's love is like sunshine shining down on us. So he gives us love. What else does the tree need?
Water.
So that would come in how would the tree get water? Rain. So the rain for the oak tree gives it some water and helps it grow. And God gives us blessings that come down on our life. And that's kind of like rain for the tree, okay? And he guides us with the rain. He guides us with his blessings. What else does the tree need? Soil. And the soil is also good for the tree because it gets nutrients from that. And what do you think God's soil would be for us? What could it be? Love. Well, the love came in the sunshine. The Bible. Yeah, God's love is in the Bible and his words. So all of these things, thank you. All of these things are part of God's love shining down on us. And if he gives us his love and his blessings and his word, it makes us strong, doesn't it? The oak tree grows with the rain and the sun and the soil, and the oak tree grows from this tiny little acorn into a big giant tree that's really strong, isn't it? Yeah. But what happens sometimes when it's windy? What happens? It can break. And I think that's part of God's plan for our lives is when we have some tough times. Like Daniel was in the hospital. He had a lot of wind. He had a lot of tough times. But that's God's way of strengthening us for later. So God gives us all these things, and he makes us really strong by his love and his testing and all of his blessings he gives us. So if everyone would like an acorn, I have an acorn for you today. Amen. You don't need one. But this is a special acorn from Jenny. I would really like you to have an acorn. Oh, wow, you've got a whole handful. Can we?
Okay. Can I have an acorn? Hello.
Yeah.
Can I have an acorn?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, you took the lid off. Okay, stay right here. We have one more thing. Can we all line up on the steps with our acorns? You need one with a hat. Let's all line up and face out there. And we're going to practice our Bible verse one more time. And you know what? We're going to say it first, and everybody out there has to repeat it after us. So are we ready?
Yes.
I can
do all things
through Christ who strengthens me.
Through Christ who strengthens me.
All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the blessings that you give us, and we thank you for the trials and tribulations that give us strength. Help us through the day, and help us grow strong like the oak tree in your love. In Jesus' name, amen. You may go back to your seats.
Today's the day, a brand new series called Wait, What? Each week, a fascinating discovery from the Bible. Then we zero in on one verse that often gets confused. As confusing as this. You ever wonder, why do we say something's out of whack? Who can tell me what a whack is? How can a store be open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and there's still locks on the door? Now, here's one that's bothered my wife for quite some while. We all know who Tarzan is, right? How does Tarzan have such long, straggly hair, but he doesn't have a beard? And finally, this one I just don't even know what to say. It has me so confused. When a turtle does not have a shell, is it homeless or is it naked? As you can see, friends, there's a lot of things in life that make us go, wait, what? So let's be amazed, let's learn, and let's discover truth together. Did you know from Judges 15, 4 and 5, Samson once caught 300 foxes, tied torches to their tails, and let them loose to burn down his enemy's crops? Now that's a blazing. And in Ezekiel 4:12, I hope your stomachs are really strong this morning. God told the prophet Ezekiel to bake bread over a fire made from human waste. And something I pray never happens to me. In Exodus 7, 8 to 13, Aaron throws his staff to the ground and it turns to a snake. I don't know about you, but these facts were so strange. Now, friends, the moment we've been waiting for, the verse that we thought we knew. We've used it a million times, we stand by it, and we've even seen great things happen as a result of it. It was July 27th, 2009. The cover of Sports Illustrated featured an arresting image of Florida Gators quarterback Tim Tebow. The headline, Tim Tebow, man of many missions. The championship quarterback seemed poised to jump off the glossy cover with pursed lips that oozed determination and a simple Bible verse. Within that black grease underneath his eyes, and it reads Philippians 4:13. Now, Tebow's highly churched Southern fan base didn't need to look up the passage, and I know neither do we. So as Jenny has already given us instruction to do so, let's practice it one more time. I can do. This single verse. There's not many places you can look where you don't find it. Keychains, T-shirts, decals, cell phone cases, wall plaques, even coffee mugs. But friends, it is one of the most misunderstood and confusing verses. Like Tebow, Philippians 4:13 functions as some kind of magical charm. Some even convince themselves if they repeat it enough times, they can do the impossible. It's like Green Lantern's ring or He-Man's sword. If you step into a megachurch, you might hear it preached like this. Most people tend to magnify their limitations. They focus on their shortcomings. But Scripture makes it plain, all things are possible to those who believe. That's right. It's possible to see your dreams fulfilled. It's possible to overcome that obstacle, to climb to newer heights, to embrace your destiny. You may not know how it all takes place. You may not have a plan, but all you have to know that if God said you can, you can. How about that job promotion? Looking for your soulmate? You want to make more money? No problem. You can accomplish all things through Christ. Wait, what? Could it be true? I really can do all things? You mean me or Denise, a 5-foot individual, can slam dunk a basketball? You mean Gail, who's probably never played baseball in her entire life, could hit a game-winning home run? You're telling me, John, if there's a bus parked out here and you repeat that verse, you can bench press that verse? That bus with that verse? Either way. But let's see what it really means. Let's take a step back. Let's define our reality. So to understand what Paul, who's the author of Philippians, actually meant, we have to read the verse in context. Now you've heard it said before. Context. What's context? Why do I need context? It means to consider it with the surrounding words or circumstances. Now, Philippians is what we would call one of those prison epistles, which simply means it was written while Paul was a jailbird. He was locked up. He was behind bars. So it shouldn't be surprising to see the themes of humility and self-sacrifice. So when we imagine Paul writing this letter, it's probably in a damp, musty, cold, first century prison cell. We can't help but to feel just a little bit uncomfortable about popular thinking on this verse. But even more than this, we must start to see that Philippians 4:13 is part of a larger idea. Listen to these words in verses 11 and 12. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased. That means humiliated. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Friends, Paul isn't telling Christians that they should dream bigger dreams. He's reminding us that they can endure the crushing feeling of defeat if those dreams aren't realized. Now, that's not very popular thinking. Rather than encouraging Christians to go out and conquer the world, Paul is reminding us we can press on when the world presses in against us. Zondervan Academic says it like this: Paul understands the range of human experience, and he understands the challenges that come with each position. He isn't a rich person telling a poor person to be happy with what they have, or vice versa. He's not sitting there on a full stomach telling hungry people to get over it already. What he's saying is that no matter what your circumstances are, you can learn to be content. Now, you might sit there and you might say, well, how would Paul even know that? And the answer is this: he's tested it. He's proved it. So here's what he does. The verse 13 comes into play. Now, if you read the NIV translation, you're going to notice something different about this verse. You've memorized it as you've repeated so well for Jenny and I, but the NIV version says this. Read it with me, please. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Wait, what? I thought it always said I can do all things. So friends, when we read it from the NIV perspective, this instead of things, it becomes much clearer that the passage is actually referring to very specific things. As a matter of fact, all the things Paul has been talking about. Not all things in the sense that we can do anything. So in context, I can do all this is the ministry that God has sent Paul to do. And what has he done, friends? He's persevered. He's shared the gospel. And in all this, he has learned to be content in any situation. Not on his own, but as the verse goes on, through Christ who strengthens him. So what is it exactly Paul wants us to learn today? We can interpret all things as anything. In other words, it's not supposed to be some blanket statement that God will support anything we set out to do and give us the power to do whatever impossible thing we can think or imagine. Friends, this verse is actually an assurance that we can do whatever God calls us to do. You see the difference? Whatever God calls us to do, not what we decide to do. Dr. Eric Bargerhoff writes in the most misused verses in the Bible, Philippians 4:13 is not really about who has the strength to play the best of their abilities in a sporting contest. This verse is about having strength to be content when we are facing those moments in life when physical resources are minimal. If there's anyone in the sanctuary today who's ever found strength through the Lord in a difficult circumstance, you can attest to what we're talking about. So contrary to popular belief, the Bible does not teach God will give you the strength to do whatever you set your mind to. He's not a heavenly bellhop. He's not a divine sugar daddy. He's not some cosmic power plant to fuel your dream. Instead, the Bible teaches us to be content. Friends, God will sustain us when life feels unsustainable. And if you're anything like me, this is a good news message. Because my experience is life can get messy. Life can be full of thorns. Life can be unpredictable and we'll have disappointments. But most of them, when we look back, are a result of our own doing. So I don't need a God who motivates me to pursue my career dreams, to chase down opportunities for personal achievement. You know what? We have that on our own. Instead, we need a God who gets down in life's trenches with us. We need a God who isn't afraid to get mucky and messy and wade with us through the tragedy and pain and failure. You see, friends, that's the God of the Bible. That's Jesus himself, and he's better than we could ever imagine. Because, friends, he alone is our source of strength. He invites us to survive the moments of weakness and give us the freedom in life's misery. That is our God. And the question that burns within us today is, do we know him? And if we know him, do we trust him? Do we believe him for what he says in his verses? Do we accept contentment and the strength that he offers? Remember to tune our hearts in to what God has for us in every circumstance. And it's then we find the strength through Christ to do all this. Would you pray with me as the praise team comes forward? Lord, you are amazing. There's never adequate words to describe you, yet in every situation, every circumstance, you find a way to carry us through, even when we're at our weakest point. And Lord, we can't say thank you enough. But Lord, there's some here among us that are at that point right now. They're looking for that strength, and we pray that they would trust you, that they would believe in you, they would find you, they would know you, and they would simply walk alongside you, not on their own strength, but through the strength that Christ gives them. And we thank you, Lord, for giving us an enduring strength, a strength that supersedes our own. So thank you, Lord, for meeting us here in this place, for giving us a better understanding of what it means to do all this through you, who gives us strength. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Says it all right there, church. It did. All that we need is in Christ. If we leave this place with nothing else, recognizing that Christ is all we need, life will be so much more content. May it be so, in Jesus' name.